I spent over 10 years trying to pursue fulfillment that way and didn't get there, okay? Right? So hedonism doesn't work. So don't mistake this for saying, okay, so the antithesis to delayed gratification is instant gratification. That is not true, and that doesn't work. But too much delayed gratification can lead you to miss out on the actual thing that is the most important part, which is the living, the life you're trying to create. So then the question you've got to ask yourself is, how do you design a life that you aren't waiting to escape from one day? Because that's the trap that most people fall into. Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dash Dot Insider, the auditory epicenter for passionate property investors seeking a life of freedom, choice, and abundance. In today's episode, we are going to be talking specifically about the freedom, choice, and abundance element of this. Less about the property and more about the abundance and freedom and all the good stuff. And joining me on today's episode is my co-pilot in business and in life, Gabby. How are you?
Hello, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm absolutely wonderful. Now, did you want to make special mention to your brand new background and the wonderful lighting that you've got?
All right, so this is take two because I was in a little nook corner of our apartment and apparently we had some internet issues. So I've now relocated and I've got some crazy circle background with stripes. I'm not into it. Goose likes it.
I think it's great. I think it's unique. So if you're watching this on YouTube, can you let us know in the comments whether or not you think Gabby's background and lighting is cool, whether you're on Team Goose in terms of it being a unique and interesting background, or whether you're on Team Gabby, let us know in the comments. But anyway, on to today's topic. I don't want to waste any more time talking about your background. What I actually want to talk about is we want to start by asking you a question. The question I've got for you is, have you got an example of a time where you set a big goal and you had an assumption that if you achieved that goal that you would be happier or something like that, and then you achieved that goal? And I'd like to know, can you think of a situation where that happened, and how did you feel when you finally achieved the goal?
Yes, definitely. Examples would be a lot of just, I guess, the milestones through growing the business. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, any entrepreneurs that are listening, I think you might feel similarly, where you set these targets of when I get to this size or this revenue number or this income amount or this many team members or something, like that's when we'll have made it and we'll feel happy and successful and complete. And then you get there and you just don't feel that. You just feel like you've only just scratched the surface and it wasn't this big mirage and celebration that you thought it would be. So yeah, I've definitely felt that.
I think it's great because I think a lot of people have, right? And this is the what we call the when then fallacy, which is really the topic that I want to dig into today in today's episode, because it is my point of view that most people are in the when then fallacy trap, and as a result, they don't actually end up creating the life that is going to give them the fulfillment that they really ultimately desire, which is really what it's all about. And anyone who's ever listened to this podcast with us would know that the reason we help people to invest in property is not because we just think, you know, oh my God, property's so cool. It's because of what it can help people to do, which is to create more freedom, choice, and abundance. But the thing is, unless you work out how to create fulfillment within yourself, you'll always be delaying this sense of satisfaction and happiness in your life. And a lot of people get into this trap. An example of this, you mentioned entrepreneurs hitting business milestones. And by the way, I would agree with you. I remember the first time when we hit $1 million in business in a year, which was several years ago now. And, you know, there's a massive milestone. And literally the moment came and went within minutes. It was like, we did it. And it was like, oh, okay. Like literally I feel no different. Okay, let's just move on. We were talking to a business owner friend of ours the other day, and he had some success, and he told himself that when he achieves a certain amount of success, he's going to buy himself a really expensive watch. And then he bought the really expensive watch, and then he cried afterwards. And he cried afterwards because he bought the watch, and then as soon as he put it on and he was like trying to make himself feel good, and within minutes, he was like, shit, I don't feel any better, different, or happier. This is meaningless. And then the fear sets in, and then it's like, what's it all about? But for most people, this is going to translate to what we kind of call the retirement trap, which is when this idea that you're going to slave away and, you know, do all this hard work and grind for 20 or 30 or 40 years or whatever it is, to get to your retirement when you're 65. And then once you get there, if you've done all the right stuff and if you've saved all the right ways and you've got your little nest egg and you've done the thing and you've ticked the boxes and you've been a good worker and you've done all that kind of stuff, you get to 65 and then you finally get to retire, and then you get to go and enjoy your life. Then you get to go and do all of the things that are going to make you finally happy and fulfilled. And the problem with that, the big problem with that is that, number one, you may not get there because you don't know what life is going to hold for you. Number two, you may not be in the physical condition or have the capabilities to go and do the things you always wanted to do because you're older now. You may not be as able. And number three, you're relying on an external factor for fulfillment. You can arrive at that point, and unless you've solved for happiness before you get there, you will only arrive and realize that you never had happiness in the first place. And so you can get there and feel pretty empty. Now, I haven't retired, and neither have you, but the same thing applies to when you hit these kind of milestones. It's this idea that when I achieve X, I will be typically, insert, happy. But that never translates.
I'm glad you touched on the retirement trap, because I do think, part of why I wanted to talk about this today is because I do think it's a big concern for a lot of people these days. And I want to say trend, but not in the way that I think it's going away. I think it's a macro trend and shift in how a lot of particularly younger people are thinking these days. It's starting to question the notion of retirement and whether that even makes sense, because the old adage of work your ass off for, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then at some point someone decides that I've completed my rounds and now I get to not work anymore, that doesn't seem to add up for a lot of people at the moment. And I think talking about it will help to pull that apart and understand, how do we make sure that that's not the trap that we fall into?
Yeah, totally. And I think the reason this conversation is really interesting is because it has many layers to it. Because it's easy to kind of point to the problem, and I think most people intrinsically would understand the problem. When you say, hey, there's this big problem that most people work until they're 65, retire, and they delay all of their happiness and fulfillment, and ultimately all you need to do is kind of... I was literally having this conversation with my brother the other day, and it was literally the same thing. It was like, you can keep working until you're 65 or 70, and then what, sit around and watch TV? Because that's kind of what happens with most people. In fact, there was a Wall Street Journal study that was done on this exact thing, on the illusion of the perfect retirement. And what they found, I'm just quickly looking at the study, but basically what they worked out was that for people who have retired, how retirees spend their days, it was something like 11 hours of the day was spent sitting around or watching TV. So this idea that you're going to get to this point of retirement and it's going to be filled with all of this adventure and you're finally going to go and do all the things, the pragmatic reality is that most retirees are just sitting around watching TV. That's actually the reality. And so the layers that go into this thinking then is okay, so what's the solution? What's the actual solution? The solution isn't necessarily retire earlier, although if you can, you should, right? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you create a life of freedom, choice, and abundance so you can go do whatever you want, when you want, with who you want, and have an impact on the world in whatever way you can? But it's very trite to just say that. Well, here's the solution. Don't retire at 65. Retire at 35. Yeah, great advice, but
Thanks, Goose. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the real advice? And so this is where the layers come into it. And I think there's a couple of key elements that I'd like to bring into it. One of it is lifestyle design, which is going to be a core element. And the other one is, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's the three stages of financial freedom. And you don't, this, there's this idea that even in property investing, when I get to say 10 properties and when I have $100,000 passive income, because 10 properties, $100,000 passive income is the everyone goal. When I get there, then I will finally be able to live the life I always wanted. When then fallacy. When I do that, then I will become happy. But the reality of the situation is you don't need to get to 10 properties and $100,000 passive income. You can get to 5 properties. You could have no properties and you can change your worldview. So the three stages of financial freedom are financial confidence, which is actually mostly about your mindset and you're knowing in your ability that you'll be able to work it out continuously. And so you have the freedom and confidence to go live the life that you really wanted today without having to wait for a delayed set of circumstances to prove your security. Stage 2 is financial security, which is when you've built enough net worth in assets such that you have a safety net that if anything went wrong, you could liquidate your assets if you needed to, and you could live off them for several years in order to, you know, deal with whatever life is maybe throwing at you. And stage three is financial independence, when you have actually, your assets are spinning off enough free cash flow that you never need to work for income again in the rest of your life. They're the three phases. But you don't need to wait to get to phase three in order to be, you know, free, right? So this is the whole idea with that concept as well. And I want to get your take on this, but I'll just keep rolling through my thoughts so we can kind of get it out. So there's that. Actually, let's start there. Let's start there before I kind of go on to the next bit. What? How do you have any input or any thoughts around that relationship between the three stages of financial freedom and the when-then fallacy, and how people can think about applying that?
Yeah, so I just before I answer that, I actually just looked up because you and I did have a podcast on this a couple of months ago. So that's actually episode 215 if anyone wanted to go back and hear a deeper conversation in these three stages of financial freedom. But yeah, I mean, it definitely comes into having more awareness about what you want and how you want to live your life, because this whole concept is not waiting until a certain point to then live your life. It's like, you don't know how long that's going to take, if you ever get there at all. And in the meantime, you've got these 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years that you're just waiting until you reach X point. And you've just sacrificed a lot during those years. And so it's really building in these systems and processes and plans based on what you actually want and how you actually want to live your life. And so the financial stages come into that to be able to help facilitate that, but also the awareness that comes from learning, like financial confidence, building up that confidence to be able to have a solid foundation so that you can make decisions from there. I just think that's really important.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. But just kind of touching in on what you said there, it's like it's this idea that it's the delaying of the satisfaction is the problem. Now, I am all for discipline. I'm all for not just falling into hedonism, because unchecked hedonism, which is just living for the moment, living for the now, living for today, that doesn't lead to fulfillment. That leads to short-term dopaminergic impulse-based existence, which doesn't actually lead to fulfillment. Trust me, I spent over 10 years trying to pursue fulfillment that way and didn't get there, okay? Right? So hedonism doesn't work. So don't mistake this for saying, okay, so the antithesis to delayed gratification is instant gratification. That is not true, and that doesn't work. But too much delayed gratification can lead you to miss out on the actual thing that is the most important part, which is the living, the life you're trying to create. So then the question you've got to ask yourself is, how do you design a life that you aren't waiting to escape from one day? Because that's the trap that most people fall into. It's like, I'm doing this thing now, which is not the optimal thing that I want to do. I'm doing this so that later I can live a different life. How do you bring these two concepts together so that you can create a life that you never need to retire from? So rather than waiting for retirement, how do you build a life that you don't need to retire from? Or another way to put it is, how do you build a life that you don't need to take a holiday from? This is where the lifestyle design element comes into it. So within this thinking, again, there must be both short-term and long-term aspects. Because if you only think short-term, then you will never set yourself up to be in a position where you can have less stress and all of this other kind of stuff in your life. You need to play long-term games and short-term games. So it's about finding that balance between saving and investing for the long term and doing all that kind of stuff, and also making sure that you're prioritizing present day existence happiness. And in order to do that, you need to start asking yourself some questions around, what kind of life do you want to live today? What if you, because, you know, we've touched on this a couple of times, and not to get too macabre, but you might not make it to the then. If you're just living for delayed gratification, you might not make it. Statistically speaking, you just may not. And we've talked about in a previous episode, we talked about this this theme park of all desires, where you can go on any ride you want in life, but sometimes the ride's going to be all the way up the back. But you may get kicked out of the theme park of life at any given point in time. And if you've spent all of your time just trying to get to a ride, then never gone on a ride, you'll never experience the fulfillment that life has to offer. So then how do you bring these elements together and play both the short-term and a short-term and a long-term kind of game? And this is the bit that I think is really interesting, because once we consider lifestyle design, And once we play a long and a short-term game, you actually find that you can start to thread the needle between present-day happiness and future, like setting yourself up for future success. So I'd like to kind of get some ideas from you on how people can think about lifestyle design whilst also optimizing for both of those. Like, how would you explain to someone how to optimize for the short term and the long term?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I think what came to mind was this concept of work-life balance that people like to use. And I think it's trendy at the moment to hear entrepreneurs online talking about, like, screw work-life balance, blah, blah. If you love what you're doing, then you're not really working.
Hustle culture.
Which, yeah, arguments either way about that. But that's kind of like splitting your life into hours that I'm working versus hours that I'm not working. Whereas what came to mind then was more about the balance between the short-term living and the long-term living. It's like how balancing the being present in the present moment, getting enjoyment out of my life, but then also not purely ignoring the potential future that might be around the corner. And like me personally, I actually tend to struggle with this a fair bit because when you get particularly coming out the other side of like hustle culture, because we've gone very hard for a very long time and just the last kind of year or so, we've been starting to go, hang on, there's more to life here. And so me coming out the other side, really realizing that really need to pay more attention to living in the present. But then it's finding that balance of, okay, if I go fully in the present and just do the short sword, hedonistic, enjoy my life right now, then you're also not setting yourself up for success in the future. And I feel like there's a piece of it where it's about doing things where you enjoy the journey. So I take like exercise, for example. If you are purely, like if you're someone that doesn't exercise, right? Like goose people, some people don't exercise.
I know, I used to be one.
But if you're someone that doesn't exercise and you have this hat on of like, you know, we only live once, YOLO, going full short sword, just everything is in the present moment, you probably aren't going to feel called to go and exercise. But everyone knows that exercise is a good thing for you to do, taking care of your health, everything. Like that is a good thing for moving yourself towards a certain future. But if you aren't thinking about that, if you're just purely ignoring the future, thinking, no, you're probably not going to exercise. And so for me, it's been about trying to find things that I want to work towards but are still enjoyable in the process. So for example, walking. Love walking. I like going to the gym. I like lifting weights. Like these things that in the actual experience of doing the thing that is setting you up for some potential future that may or may not come, you are enjoying it in the short term anyway. So it's this kind of finding a way to tick both at once. Does that make sense?
Mm. It makes total sense. And the thing is, the how of that is really, really important. It's really, really important to understand. And this, I'm going to come back to some kind of points around how to apply this if you're stuck in a job that you might not necessarily like. But the point here is designing, like it is a continuous arc of a designed life is the kind of idea here. So walking might be important to you, but it might not be important to somebody else. Lifting weights might be important to me, but it might not be important to somebody else. And so really the questions you start to need to ask yourself is, what does a good life look like to me? What is the kind of life that I would be happy to live today? Like in a genuine sense, how would I, and then if I fast forward 20 years, would I be happy that I've lived that life? And you've got to start asking yourself questions based around values, because a lot of people don't live in alignment with their values. They're doing things because of they feel pressure to, whether it be societal pressure, familial pressure, something like that. They feel obligation. They've actually never taken the time to ask themselves, am I even happy? So there's all these kind of questions that you got to ask yourself. And so when you actually start to then think about what does your ideal life look like, that will start to point you in the right direction based on your values and based on the things you want. So you might say that in your ideal life, you are fit, happy, and healthy, and you get to you run a marathon every year, and you spend 3 months of the year overseas, and you know, pick whatever it is to you. Like, don't let me try and tell you what your dream is. The point is, you've got to start to actually design that and go, okay, what does that look like? What does that life look like? Then think about how you can change your current set of circumstances to fit that. Because again, it's not about this idea that you just spontaneously just exit and fly off into the world and never have to work again, because that's not practical or realistic. Even you and I, for example. So we have been doing this process for years. There's a reason that we currently live in Thailand, because we have been continuously asking ourselves, okay, is our current version of our life, is it meeting all of the things that we want out of our life and our values? Now, that doesn't mean that we've suddenly retired and we sit on the beach all day. We're still working full-time and growing a business. So the same thing can apply to people that have got a job. You might be saying, oh yeah, well, that's all well and good. If you've like got made heaps of money, you can just go do whatever you want. It's like, no. You're missing the point. The question you ask yourself is, how do you start to bring these things into your life today? Now, maybe moving overseas is not practical, but maybe moving closer to the ocean is, if that's a thing that you want to do. Potentially you're in a job, potentially you're listening to this and you're in a job and going, yeah, well, that's great, but you're not in a job that you hate. Well, here's an interesting thing. You have a choice. You can either choose to change your job to something that is going to give you more fulfillment, or if that is not practical, you can choose to change the way you relate to your job. Because even in those tougher circumstances, if you're in a job you hate, I can guarantee you that if you shift your mindset, it'll go from pain to pleasure, because you can be learning something. Even in the most challenging set of circumstances, even if you're working in an environment full of, like, you know, highly political and Machiavellian and, like, you know, all of that kind of stuff, you can rise above that and start to see it for what it is, which is a chapter in your life that you get to learn and grow from. And so you get to shift part of this with your mindset. But the whole idea here is looking at your life and actually asking yourself, are you currently living a life that you would be proud of? And then where are you going? Now, the life that we have today is awesome and has actually been really daunting for me to realize that we've arrived at a place where I actually don't really desire that much more than what we've got. I was like, whoa, that was very strange. But still, I can imagine a future that is grander even than what we have today. And so it's not about necessarily just going this kind of static one size fits all. Okay, I'm just going to design my life today and then that's going to be it for the next 40 years. It's going to be, how do you continuously design this arc? And part of that is also going to be on this kind of pathway of self-actualization. So if you constantly think, am I being the best version of myself and am I living the best version of my life? That's going to be a continuous process of evolution, step by step by step by step. Now, part of that, if you're listening to this, investing is probably something that is part of what you want to do in your life. And there's probably a bunch of reasons you want to do it, because you want to increase your wealth, you want to increase your financial security, you want to create passive income. So those things probably won't change. So then as you start thinking about designing your ideal life, it's not about saying, all right, well, I guess I'm not going to invest. I'm just going to freaking throw all my money into plane tickets. It's like, no, investing probably is something that you want to do. So you can continue to do that. But then you could ask yourself questions like, okay, why am I investing? I'm investing so that one day, I'll give you a real example. I won't use a name, but a friend of ours works at he's very high up in a very large company, like one of the like multi-billion dollar companies in Australia, and he's got a very senior position, and he wanted to move to a tropical island in Southeast Asia. And the problem with that is he's got a career progression on this pathway, but he's not actually that fulfilled. He's just on this career trajectory. And he asked himself, he was faced with this choice. He's like, if I move to this tropical island, I am going to sabotage my career. But he asked himself, well, but why am I working in the career? So that one day I can go and sit on a tropical island in Southeast Asia. Well, why don't I just go do that right now and find another way to make an income? So it's about kind of working out how you bring these things together. And it's not about saying no to things. It's about saying yes to more of the things that you truly desire, such that you have more fulfillment in your current present day reality. Do you think that's helpful, Gabby? Or do you have anything to add to think that kind of like line of thinking about how to design that?
Yeah, it's definitely helpful. What came to mind, I just remembered when we were in Sydney last week, I caught up with a friend and we were talking about, you know, property investing. She was wanting some guidance there because she's in a position where thinking about maybe buying a home. She's in Sydney, so she's looking at Sydney prices going, oh, this is crazy. What am I doing? How do I do this? And, you know, I was talking to her. people ask questions, so I try and explain things to them. But I wasn't like pushing like, you need to invest in property. I was just like, kind of explaining the situation. And she was asking like, how do I balance this? Because similar to what I was saying before, she's very much like, I don't want to get stressed out about the future. I'm in this place at the moment where I'm trying to focus on being really present and not worry so much because I've gone through years of really worrying. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, I just kind of want to live my life. But then also I look at the financial situation. And I'm like, I can see where this is going. And so the conversation was about, you don't necessarily like have to put a lot of pressure into this whole investing thing. The way that I think about it is trying to have it set up in a way that just passively works in the background so that you don't have to think about it. You spend a little bit of time getting it set up. If you buy the right investments, you have the right team, you get property managers, whoever to manage that for you, then you don't have to be stressed about it. But it's still something that you've put in place that is looking after your future. And so that kind of seemed to get through to her a little bit because it's not purely like working, hustling for some endpoint, some anonymous endpoint someday. It's setting something in stone now so that it can grow over time. So she's doing something for the future, but then also gets to embrace the present.
You touched on something here, though, that is really, really important. It's about how do you do it and make it easy so that you can live the life you want. Because most property investors, they spend about 500 hours trying to buy a property, and it takes them about 18 months at about 500 hours. It's crazy. So you could do that, and in turn, you could be sacrificing your time in order to achieve that outcome, when really your time could be spent better doing something else, like living your life. And there's plenty of examples of clients, a couple that I'm specifically thinking of. They actually have went traveling. They basically engaged Dashdot. They said, okay, Dashdot, you go do the thing. You go buy all the properties for us. We're going to go traveling. We're going to go traveling all around Europe and the US. Just keep us posted. And in that context, they were able to simultaneously invest and take their family on a round the world trip at the same time. Now, obviously, that requires a certain amount of financial resources. So some people are going to be listening to say, well, I can't afford to buy properties and travel around the world. But there's other things you can do other than traveling around the world that could give you more fulfillment. It could be spending more time with your friends and family. It could be spending more time on personal development. It could be spending time to develop skills that you want so that you can go do the thing you've always really wanted to do. And it's in this process of taking the time to analyze all of this stuff that you then start to break away from this idea of hustle, grind, push, shove, sacrifice, delay, one day, I'll be happy. And so I have to go, okay, well, what would be required for me to be happy today and also achieve all of the things that I want today, tomorrow, the next month, and so on? That's where the real art comes into it. You know, I think one of the most clarifying things that people can ever really come to terms with is their mortality. And I think that when you do that, everything shifts. Because all of a sudden you realize you have a very finite number of days. And if you start to really, really, really think about that, every day that you spend living a life that isn't in alignment with your highest values, your highest purpose, your true satisfaction, the thing you really want, is a day that you never get back, that is effectively wasted. Now, again, for some people, this is going to be a transition. I know for me, it was a transition, right? Like 6 years ago, I wasn't sitting around going, geez, I'm not sure if I really want anything else in my life. I wasn't. 6 years ago, I was sitting around going, I want anything but the life that I currently have. And so these things take time and they take a transition. But if you go through the process, what you end up with is you end up with all of the happiness that you thought you were going to get later, but you get it in the present moment now. And the example that you just gave of your friend who was having this conflict between how do I live in the present moment and also do this other thing, all of that starts to come together. But part of the problem with a lot of these ideas is that people think that it's instantaneous. Change is never instantaneous. You can create whatever life you want just with no exception. You can just literally create whatever life you want within 3 to 5 years. But what everyone expects is it's going to happen within 6 to 12 months. And when it doesn't happen within 6 to 12 months, they think it's all bullshit And then they give up on their hopes and dreams when really it was just they had the wrong expectation and time frame. And so rather than this whole idea, again, it's just like kicking the can down the road, bring it back to reality. Spend the time to ask some questions. You know, there's some really practical ways you can kind of think about approaching lifestyle design as well. And there's a few core categories that you can start to ask yourself questions in, because a lot of people might be thinking about this for the very first time. So just as a bit of a prompt to help you, if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, well, I don't know what a good life looks like to me. I've never really thought about it. Start by breaking your life down into six areas. Now, there's plenty of ways to do this. Just use these six as an example, right? So there's plenty of, you may read some stuff in other places. Number one is health and wellness. Number two is family and relationships. Number three is business and career. Number four is finance and wealth. Number five is learning and development. And number six is lifestyle and location. Write all those headings down on a bit of paper, right? Or in a spreadsheet or in a Google Doc might be useful, because then you can get an expanding page. Then I want you to ask yourself, how important is that area to you in your life? So for example, how important is health and wellness to you? How important is family and relationships to you? How important is business and career? How important is finance and wealth? Because this is going to actually help you to understand where your values lie. You don't need to score a 10 out of 10 on all six of those categories if that is not that important to you. If something's not that important to you, for example, if becoming financially independent is not that important to you actually, which, you know, it's probably not that true if you're listening to this podcast, but let's just say, for example, then you don't need to be a 10 out of 10 in finance and wealth if that's not that important to you. So your first step is to ask yourself, of those six areas, which ones are the most important to you and why? Rank them and give them a score out of 10. You know, that'll help you to understand, well, score out of 5 or score out of 10. Put a scoring system next to them. Then ask yourself, for each of those categories, what does a good life look like to you in that area and why? So for example, you might say in health and wellness, health and wellness is really important to me. It's a, let's say, an 8 out of 10. And what good looks like to me in this area is that I can run a marathon and deadlift 200 kilos. Yeah, well, that's great, but like, why? That's great that you've identified that, but why is a really important question. Why? Why is that important to you? Because you're really going to dig into that, because otherwise you can kind of set the wrong targets in those places. Then what personal goals or aspirations do you have in that area? So for example, in finance and wealth, it may very well be to own 10 properties, right? Like, that's okay, by the way, it's a good goal. But why do you have those? So what personal goals or aspirations do you have in each of those areas and why? So it could be in lifestyle and location. It could be, I want to live by the beach. That could be a personal goal or aspiration you have in there in the lifestyle and location area. Ask yourself why. Then another question to ask yourself is, how often do you want to spend dedicated time focusing on that part of your life? So for example, you may say health and wellness is a 7 out of 10, but I only really want to spend 3 hours a week on it. Maybe. So you really want to work out what's your time allocation to these. And then the final question is, how will you feel when you are experiencing this area optimally in your life? Now, this is going to be a bit of a process to go through, then start to then design your life. And if you go through this process, start to identify the things that are most important to you, then start to work out what's missing. Because by the way, you actually may very well find that the life you're living is more fulfilling than you've been giving it credit for. Because you may do this and then turn around and go, actually, you know what? I actually have realized as I go through this list that most of the things that I want, I already have. I just haven't been expressing enough gratitude for those things, which is awesome too, because you could be living in your dream reality, but if you don't know it, you may not get the fulfillment that you actually should be getting from it. And it's just a case of knowing. So going through those is going to help you to unearth the things that really matter to you.
I think the time allocation is an interesting point in there as well. Like, obviously, I know you and I know that you're big on time allocation. You're Captain Planet. But a lot of people don't think that way, right? And particularly if you're, I don't know, on the less organized scale, the idea of having a lot of things on your calendar might seem intimidating. That's a separate discussion. But the reality is that our life is literally made up of time. It's literally made up of hours. And if we're awake for, let's say, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's 112 hours awake every single week of you living your life outside of sleeping. And actually being able to allocate and plot the things that are important to you within that 112 hours is how you create the life that you want, because it won't just appear on your calendar, whether or not you use a calendar or not, but it won't just eventuate into existence in your life. So if you can go through this process of designing your life and the lifestyle and how you want to show up in those different areas in your life and actually thinking, I really care about, you know, we keep using health and wellness, but health and wellness at the moment, it's a really big priority for me at the moment. But then you actually look at how you've spent your week the last couple of weeks, couple of months, and you realize that you've only ever put in an hour a week max. That's where you're not meeting your own needs, your own wants, your own desires. You're not actually moving towards the life that you want in the present. And so I think that's a really interesting way to think about it that I think will help a lot of people, just actually thinking of their hours as resources and allocating them into those areas that are important. Like family. Family is huge for a lot of people, yet a lot of people don't allocate that time for catching up with their family. If you live close to family, having dinners with them. If you're not close to them, just jumping on calls, giving the call, like you might have an hour every evening where you just catch up with family, friends, whatever that is, what's important to you. But if you don't consciously make that choice, it's very unlikely it will just happen.
So I love the hours breakdown. I'm going to come back to it. But that last bit is really interesting, because a lot of people want to create financial freedom so they can spend more time with family. So, okay, so let me just break this down and get it right. So you want to buy 10 properties that produce $100,000 passive income so that you can spend more time with your family. Yes. Okay, so why don't you just go spend more time with your family? Like it's a classic example of it. It's like, okay, so could you just spend more time with your family now? Like what is stopping you from spending more time with your family now? Where are your priorities misaligned between the things that you really want? So the breakdown, so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's 168 hours, of which if you're sleeping 8 hours a day and then working 40 hours a week, that leaves you with 72 hours. That leaves you with 72 hours. Now, of course, some of that is going to be caught up in all the nonsense of commuting to or from work or driving to the shops or doing whatever. It's going to get caught up in some of the noise. But effectively, you've got 72 hours, which is 42% of your total week that you can be allocating to making sure you're ticking the boxes in your life that are making you the most fulfilled. And by the way, fulfillment isn't always easy. In fact, I would argue that you don't get fulfillment if it is easy. I believe that you must have some degree of challenge in order for it to become fulfilling. Very few things that are easy are truly fulfilling. So you may find that it's like, oh yeah, I've got all this time, but oh my God, do I really have to drag my ass off the couch and go to the gym in the evening if that's the only time that you can do it? I don't go to the gym in the evening, by the way, but let's just say hypothetically that was the only time you could find the hours to do it. Well, I mean, yeah, if that's the thing that's going to create the life that you want. And breaking free from that inertia is really, really important. I mean, how many people if you're listening to this, just think around and just think of all of the people that you know that do nothing. They get home from work, they have dinner, they watch TV. On the weekends, they just kind of kick it around the house and they wait for the week to start again. And then that goes on for the next 20 or 30, 40 years. And I'm not saying they don't have a good family, and I'm not saying they don't bring up their kids well, and I'm not saying they're bad people. But what I am saying is that it seems like a life that is not being optimized for a total fulfillment and happiness. It seems like the life that you may wake up one day and go, what have I done with the last 20 or 30 years? And you never get that time back. And so going through that process, the life design, lifestyle design, kind of those categories, helps you to understand where you should spend the time today. So just like in the example that I gave of the, if the reason you want to create financial freedom is you can spend more time with family, could you just go and spend more time with family? If the reason that you want to create financial freedom is so that you can go and travel, is there a way that you could go and travel and now, today, whilst also still working, whilst also still investing, whilst also doing all of that kind of stuff? If the reason you want to create financial freedom is so you've got time to finally focus on your health and wellness, could you find a way to prioritize that right now? You start to bring all this stuff into the present day reality and start to create the life that you wanted today.
Yeah, I love it. An example that just came to mind in like my own life, because an area might also be learning or development or some kind of skill or project that you want to work on. And so, for instance, like if we go through this process of visualizing what your dream life looks like, and for me, for a long time, it's always been being able to share your and my life together, sharing more of that online, because I think we have a pretty cool and inspiring life. A lot of people say that, you know, what we're doing is inspiring, which is amazing. And being able to, you know, wrap that up in some way and put it out and share it to more people so more people can be inspired. And that's kind of the vision that I have for it. And while I went through the process of breaking that down and went, okay, mechanically, that might become a YouTube channel. Like, maybe that's how that looks. And I had this dream and I had this like goal of like, hey, have a YouTube channel at some point. But it wasn't until I actually put that time on my calendar in the last 3-4 months where I put in the evenings, finished the day, done my health and wellness, gone for a walk, like checked in with family. And then I have time a couple of hours every day where I'm actually just learning about this thing that I want to understand. Because the vision where I'm going to is that I understand this, like we're doing it well, we're serving a lot of people. To get to that point, you have to first understand it. And it wasn't until I started putting that on the calendar that it became real. So I think breaking that down, that time allocation, I think is really important because I think that's the mechanism of actually actualizing it. Because you can go through, here's the vision of my life. And then I go, okay, if I pick one piece and I try and apply that today, like, cool, I'm going to focus on this project sooner than I was anticipating. But actually being able to focus on that, what does that look like? It's putting that time into your life and going, okay, these many hours every week, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of reminds me of that a goal without a plan is just a wish. And so if you really want to do it, like if it is really important to you, you actually have to plan to do it. You know, and same thing for me. Like me personally, I'm on a fitness journey. I have a specific fitness goal that I want to achieve. So it means that I have to plan and stick to a schedule and a routine in order to achieve the specific goal that I want in the specific time frame that I've set. Otherwise, I'll be sitting here in 30 years' time and I will never have achieved that specific outcome. So I think you're right. I think you have to kind of work out what it is and then specifically allocate the time and practice discipline to get it done. And again, just a reminder that it's not always going to feel easy. Just because it is the thing that you want to do doesn't mean that it's going to feel good and easy. I mean, you and I have traveled a lot and we love travel. And there are times when we're traveling where we're like, this sucks. I feel so tired. I'm sick of this. I'm not having fun. Right? Right? But the point is, the macro is that it is the thing that we want to do. In the micro, there's always going to be moments where you're not enjoying the thing. I mean, shit, family could be one of your highest priorities and your highest values. You can't tell me that every time you go and spend time with your family or your mom or your dad or whatever, that you're like, this is awesome. Sometimes you're like, this gives me the shits. And so sometimes the thing that you want is still going to be hard. So don't take that as a sign that you shouldn't be doing it. Just like zoom out and realize that sometimes even the things that you want in life are not going to be fun or easy. I think we've dug into this a fair bit and I hope that people can get some good takeaways from this because the whole, I guess the overarching thematic is to try and work out how to live an integrated life rather than a segmented one. Rather than chopping your life up into segments where it's like, okay, I am now in the time of my life where I just work for 40 years or something like that. Work out how do you integrate it? How do you create a fully integrated life so you can live the life that you want today whilst planning for the future tomorrow and ultimately living in absolute alignment with your values and living your best life? And I think if we do that, we all get to achieve everything we always wanted. So I hope you've enjoyed this topic. If you have, let us know in the comments. If you're on YouTube, if you're not subscribed on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button, the like button. And of course, jump on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, get on there. And if you're on any other platform, just click some random buttons and hopefully some of them are some kind of subscribe or something. Just click the things. And of course, if you found this to be interesting and thought-provoking, which I hope you have, then I would encourage you to share this with somebody else. Somebody else who might be stuck in the win-then fallacy or the retirement trap and help them to work out how to create a more integrated life so they can achieve more fulfillment as well. Gabby, as always, I really enjoyed these discussions with you. So thanks.
Awesome.
See you in the next episode.